Hey everyone, how you guys doing today? It's good. Oh guys, so I'm just really like thinking, like I'm looking for someone, you know, I just need someone that's grasped right now, like the epitome of getting through obstacles at all cost and with the desire of success. But you know, these days, wait a minute here. Oh yes, I love her already. Goodness gracious, I tell you, Miss Chrissy Richards, she's amazing. Wow, you know, she's like the testimony to not letting circumstances be a roadblock to her success. And she is an amazing mother and grandmother. Ooh, girl, you look good for your age. We've got to have her on here. I have a feeling she's going to be the one. Goodness, I feel like I know her. Like I've met her already.
All you've experienced is all you know, then you are in a deficit of knowledge. And basically what that means is sometimes you have to explore things outside of your experience in order to become tolerant, empathetic, and compassionate in understanding other people's experiences.
Hey, welcome back to the show. This is Brandy J, and you're listening to Voices of Courage 2020. Today I have with me an amazing, amazing guest, and her name is Chrissy. Do you want me to say your whole name,
fine.
Chrissy?
We can just leave it Chrissy.
Okay, I just wanted to sometimes, you know, people nicknames or whatever works for you, because I want you to feel welcome, because that's what we
I
do here. Courage. So everybody, this is the lovely Chrissy. She is an amazing podcaster. She has a show called Cypher Knowledge with Chrissy. And I would say also that nice show. I like it.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. So yes, and Chrissy, I wanted to, before I got into anything, I wanted to let the listeners know that today, though Chrissy, she's a podcaster and everything, she also, and she's a nurse. She wonderful career. I followed that too. But Chrissy has a very amazing story. She had a child at a very young age. But today we wanted to bring light to it in a way where we could show that even though that's what she was dealt, you know, that never ever would stopped her in getting to where she needed to be. And like we were saying before, how nobody really takes that avenue or looks at, you know, when it comes to these type of things. So I think that's important. And so Chrissy, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on your show. I'm so happy to be here. Excited.
Yay. I love that energy. I love it.
Absolutely.
Chrissy. Can you, so since you know you are here and you can tell the listeners, could you let them know a little bit about yourself and who you are?
Sure. So I'm Chrissy. I am 42, although everybody says I don't look 42. So I will take that. I am a registered nurse. I actually work in the field of hospice. So that is my specialty. And it's been a little bit crazy with this whole COVID thing going on, but nonetheless, I still get the job done. I am a mom of three. My oldest is 27. It's a girl. When you do the math, you can see how young I was. My second one is a boy, and he's 20. And lastly, my third child is a boy, and he will be 14 this month. I'm a grandma. I have two grandbabies. One is two. The other one will be four in April. And I am the host of Cypher Knowledge with Chrissy. I just started the podcast in September, and it was something that I didn't know I wanted to do until I did it. And it brings me a lot of joy. And I'll just really quick on why I decided to do the podcast. When I was a little girl, I hung out with my grandfather. So he was an actor and a playwriter, but he was also Native American Indian. So he had a ton of stories. And I remember sitting with him as I was a little girl, just consuming all this information he had. And I had so much joy sharing those moments with him. And he passed when I was 18, unfortunately, due to cancer. I found myself as I got older, having joy sharing the information and the knowledge I knew with other people. When someone would ask a question, I would be like, oh, I know the answer. I know the answer. Let me tell you why and how. And it kind of brought me back to that moment of being with my grandfather. So that's kind of the premise of the show. Well, the reason why I do the show, and my show is based on providing knowledge and information and experiences to people who otherwise may not have access to that information. And I don't pigeonhole myself to one subject. We discuss every topic under the sun. And kind of that's me. That's who I am. We'll get into a little more depth as the show goes on, but that's just kind of me in a nutshell.
Cool. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that.
Of course.
Okay. So I know that the topic is, I guess I would think that it usually picks up with people, resonates with people when they find out that you're 42 and that you're a grandma. Does that like pull people in? They like,
They're
I
like,
want.
wait a minute. How I do it, right, is normally because first of all, people don't think I'm 42 when they look at me. So when I go out to see my patients and stuff like that, they automatically, because I'm dealing with an older population, geriatric population. So when they see me, they automatically assume I'm in like my late 20s, early 30s. And then I turn around and I do this on purpose because I love to see their reaction. I go, well, my oldest is 27. And they go, what? Wait a minute, how old are you? And I'm like, well, and I'm a grandmother. So I kind of, they like fall in their seats and they're like, hold on a second. And I'm like, well, listen, I had her really, really young. I was 14 when I got pregnant, 15 when I had her, but that didn't stop me with becoming who I am today. So I love to throw them off in the beginning, but then once they kind of hear me get into my story, they understand it.
Cool. Yeah, that's a like if you ever needed a great conversation starter, just there you go. A way to break some ice.
I was at a party one time, and it's I think they did a two truths and a lie. So I did. I was a grandmother, that I was a nurse, and that I was 50. And everybody was like, "Wait a minute, hold on, you don't look 50, but you're not a grandmother either." So like it threw them all off. They couldn't figure it out. And I was like, and so finally when I had to tell, what my two truths were, they were like, wait a minute, what? And everybody wanted to know more. So definitely a great conversation starter.
Yeah, that was nice how you set that up where you gave them like all three of them were kind of like, wait, can any of these be
Absolutely.
cool. So before we get like right into it, can you kind of paint somewhat of what your childhood was like for us?
Yes. So, I grew up in the Bronx, New York. I don't know. For me, it wasn't as rough as everybody thinks when I tell them the Bronx and they're like, New
And then
York.
go
Yeah. And
to
they're like, oh my God, it must have been so hard. And I'm like, it wasn't easy, but it's not like it was those gangster movies you see on TV. When you're living there, it's completely, everything's normal to you. But both my parents were drug addicts when I was a little girl. They were both addicted to crack cocaine. But I don't know. I still don't think I had it as hard as some other people had it. I still had food. They were functioning drug addicts, if that makes sense. There was
Yeah.
still food on the table, clothes on our back, and we were still going to school. Now, granted, it wasn't the best clothes. I don't know if anybody remembers Favors. or the shoe store or balloon sneakers. So, I definitely didn't have Nikes on. But I had a grandfather who was very supportive and loving. I had aunts, an aunt and uncles. And my parents were still kind of present, even though it's like they got high at night when we were asleep. So, like I said, it wasn't the easiest, but when I hear other stories, I don't think I had it as bad. And maybe that's just me kind of, minimizing it. But for me, I didn't feel that way.
That is your truth, you know?
But I have I'm the third child from my father. I am the second child from my mom. So there's six. I have five other siblings. It's four girls and two boys total. And we kind of all did our own thing. We all went off. Some are successful. Some kind of fell in the cycle of drug addiction. But for I always say abnormal is normal. So my family's abnormal. But some don't talk to the others, and then but at the end of the day, when we all need each other, we're there. So
Yeah,
I guess
sounds
that's
about right.
yeah.
Yeah, I know exactly how that is.
Yeah,
I
exactly.
can't stand them, but be like when it's time to get together or somebody messing with
Oh yeah, we're there. We're there, and then after we're done,
you.
we're like, I'm still not talking to you. So my brother unfortunately had a traumatic brain injury in 2017, and he doesn't talk
I'm
to me. He was
sorry.
beat in the head with a baseball bat, but he's 95% back to who he was. But I was there in the ICU with him, and I wouldn't leave his side because, being a nurse, I wanted to make sure they were all doing what they were supposed to do in the hospital. And he finally woke up on the eighth day, and I was the first person he saw when he woke up, and he was like, "Oh, you're here?" And I was like, "All right, he's good. I'm out of here." But we come together when we need to.
That's awesome. Hey, this dysfunction is the norm, I guess,
I think
right?
it is. I think there's a little dysfunction in everything, and when you try to be perfect, whatever that is, because I feel like perfect is subjective.
Yeah, I think it's creepy.
It's kind of almost like the Stepford Wives, right? Yeah, like, I don't want to be in that scenario.
That's funny. Okay, so you had you had a lot of family during all this, and they sound pretty loving as far this, but well, yeah, when it's time to be there for each other. But
Yes.
like with your grandfather and stuff, with your when growing up with your grandparents and stuff, they seemed like wherever your parents were, falling off at, they were there
Yeah,
to pick up the pieces.
my grandfather was definitely my backbone. I think without him, I wouldn't be who I am today.
Awesome. And you don't have to go like to the system or anything like that. So that's amazing that your family was there to.
Yes. Me and my mom, we've
Awesome.
only just kind of reconnected. There was a lot of tension there between the both of us, and it took us a long time. We finally kind of sat down, and I was like, "Well, you may have not thought you were this and this and this to me, but I'm telling you right now, that's how I felt." And with her being an addict, when she quit, the only reason she quit was because neighbors had told her if she didn't stop doing what she was doing, they were going to call Child Protective Services and have us taken away. So she kind of went cold turkey and never went for any kind of rehab or therapy or anything like that. And I feel like with addiction, when you're recovering, that therapy is
Oh, yeah.
huge because you still keep the attitude and tendencies of an addict. So yeah, so she never did any of that. And even though, I mean, they've been, 30 something years clean, God bless, but that attitude was still there. And I feel like sometimes some addicts are like, "Well, I'm clean now, so you can't judge me on anything I did when I was on drugs." And I'm like, "Oh, no. We can. We absolutely can because it affected me. That was trauma. I may not have been the one doing the drugs, but I was still affected by that trauma."
And if they were went to recovery and stuff, they definitely would have been able to identify with that,
Yep.
because that's a big part of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's awesome that you did get to sit down and tell how it made you feel.
Yeah.
Because that's growth and that helps you to move on.
Absolutely.
So I'm happy you got to do that.
Yeah.
Okay. So I was going to ask, but I guess you just covered that there. Like how would like younger during when they were in this addiction, how was your relationship with your mom and dad?
So my, there was also domestic violence. My father was abusive physically to my mother. And believe it or not, and I spoke about this before, believe it or not, I was more angry at my mom for allowing the abuse to continue than I was my father. And not that I thought my father was right in what he was doing, but the fact that my mother just took it. And we saw that. And I saw her as weak, and that affected
Yeah.
me. I think that's why I'm so strong. And sometimes it's a detriment to me because I won't get help or I won't ask for help because I'm like, nope, I'm not going to be my mother. Like, I'm not doing that. So my dad, I was daddy's little girl, believe it or not. Whatever I wanted, dad gave me, even with his issues. And then, like I said, my mom and I really just, we just didn't see eye to eye. There was always conflict between us, until probably the last 10 years.
Okay. I like that was very significant when you said how you viewed your mom in when she during the domestic abuse because that's really huge when we allow those things to happen and then our children see it. But a lot of times you'll notice the child will find themselves in those same type of relationships because that's what they learned. And with you took it and you knew right away that that was.
Yeah, I had one man try to put his hands on me once, and I'm telling you, that was the first and last time.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. And I
Exactly.
never got into drugs either. Like, I've never, I think the hardest thing I ever tried was marijuana. That's it. And I was like, I am not going. And
Wow.
I've had other drugs offered to me when I was younger, and I just would recall my parents and was like, nope, nope, not doing that.
That's good that that's how you took it instead of, since that's what you were around, instead you saw, for what it was. You're like, no way.
Nope.
I see what that does. No way.
And I think because there was so
Yeah,
much
so.
discourse between me and my mother, I was doing everything not to be her.
Yeah, that makes sense. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess then I would ask when, when did you become I guess sexually active? Like when did you start, dating or
So I had my first sexual encounter when I was 12.
well, okay.
Yeah, I was young, but in my mind, I was grown. Couldn't nobody tell me anything. I helped take care of my younger siblings. I was more intelligent than most girls my age. I was grown. No one can tell me anything. And I think the reason why I started becoming sexually active at a young age was I was looking for love in all the wrong places. I wanted to feel accepted and loved and needed and wanted. And those were things that I didn't feel from, in my household. I didn't feel that from my parents. And then that's kind of what the effect was.
Yeah, that's so important when it with a child because when they don't feel those things, and even if you're present, they'll seek it.
Elsewhere.
Yeah, they definitely will. Yeah, that's a need. That's a human like desire, need. We all want it. Even the most like hateful person, as crazy as that seems, seeks love and acceptance too.
Yeah. And at the detriment of ourselves sometimes. Like we want it so bad that we don't realize what we're giving up to get it. And that's even
Right.
a pervasive in adulthood. Right? We stay in toxic
Yeah.
relationships just because we want that love.
Yeah. Yep, when it's about loving ourselves first and more than
It's hard for people to love
we
them.
know we're
Yeah.
worth.
It's hard for people to love themselves first.
Yeah, it is. Such a human thing that brings us, we all are, we have those things, all of
Yeah.
us. So that's important. Okay. So I guess the next question would be, was the person you were sexually active with your boyfriend, and was that the one that you became pregnant by?
No. So the first guy that I was intimate with or sexually active with was the guy I was dating in middle school. So he was my boyfriend at the time, although I found out he was everybody's boyfriend later on. It actually was the second guy that I was intimate with. I was 14 and he was 18. So he was 4 years my senior. And, I've talked to other people about this and they're like, well, do you know that, he was an adult basically at that age and he took advantage of you. And I was like, no, he never took advantage of me. I wanted it. And they're like, yeah, no. Like, that was sexual assault. And I'm like, no, I asked for it. I wanted it. And they were like, no. So he was my boyfriend, but not really my boyfriend, if that makes sense. Like he had a girlfriend, so I was a side piece. I was a side piece. And when my mom found out, she automatically wanted to take him to jail. She actually wanted to press charges and all of that. And I was like, listen, like we're not doing that. That's not fair to him. Put him in that situation when I knew exactly what I was getting into, regardless of my age. I knew what I was doing. I knew right from wrong and still decided to do that. So I'll tell you how everything went down with my mom even finding out I was pregnant.
Yes, that was. Oh yeah,
So
definitely.
because we kind of trended into that a little bit, slipped into there. So my older sister, she's 2 years older. She knew I was pregnant, but I was like, you can't say anything. You can't say anything. Like, if you say anything, I swear I'm gonna beat you, right? So she kept it. And my sister was, even though she was older, she was more timid than me. I kind of like all fought all her fights and stuff like that. She was very quiet into herself. So when I said I'm gonna hurt you, she kind of knew I would. So she kept the secret. And I was actually still taking maxi pads to pretend like I was still having my period, so my mom wouldn't catch on. I was wise enough to know to do that, but I started getting that morning sickness. So like every morning I was vomiting and stuff like that, and I knew I was pregnant at this time. And I'll never forget, I was laying on the couch, my mom's sitting in the single chair, and my sister's on the other couch, the one who knew. And I couldn't hold it. I just threw up all over the living room floor. And my mom's like,
Oh no.
you're effing pregnant, aren't you? And I was like, what are you talking about? No, I'm not. She's like, yeah, effing pregnant. You're effing pregnant. Yes, you are. And I was like, lady, I have no clue what you're talking about. Right? So she looks over at my sister. My sister cannot, like, she could not hold it together at all. So I'm looking at her like, don't you dare. So my mom looks over to my sister and she's like, and you knew, and you knew. And my sister's like, no. My mom got up and whooped her butt because she couldn't whoop me because I was pregnant. So
Oh
my sister got the whooping and she looked at me, she was like, I hate you. And I was like, well, she can't hear me. And then my mom's like, you're having an abortion. And I told her, I was like, no, I'm not. She was like, yes, you are. You're only 14. You can't tell me what you can do. You're still a child. And I was like, no, I'm not having an abortion. And I remember she called and made an appointment for me. And the night before we were supposed to go to the clinic, I ran away to my girlfriend's house. And I was like, I'm not going back home because I'm not having this abortion. Like, I'm not doing that. Like, whatever I gotta go through, I'll go through, but I'm not having this abortion. And then I spoke to a healthcare worker, and they informed me that it didn't matter that I was 14. My mom couldn't force me to do it. So I came back home. My grandfather lived in the same apartment building as me. So I came back home and I went to him first before I went upstairs to my apartment. And I told him, I said, listen, so my grandfather, like I said, was Native American Indian. We didn't call him grandpa, we called him Kazik. If you called him grandpa, he disowned you from the family. So, and in his native tongue, that meant Indian chief. So I got there and I said, Kazik, I was like, I'm pregnant. And mom wants me to have an abortion and I don't want one like at all. And he was a little disappointed. He was disappointed. He was sad. He was hurt. But he was like, I get it. Like, I get that you don't want to have the abortion. And he's very religious. And he was like, I don't want you to have it either. Whatever we need to do together, we'll do together. So he told my mom, he said, if you don't want her in the apartment, she doesn't have to be there. She can move all her stuff down here. She'll stay with me. And she's not having the abortion. That's it. So that's kind of where things stood. And I stood with my grandfather for a couple of weeks until my mom came around to, realizing this is happening. This is gonna happen. So I started seeking prenatal care at a very early term in my pregnancy, which was unusual for girls my age. I think I was about 12 weeks when I had my first OB appointment. And they were actually pretty surprised at the clinic as well. They were like, wait, you're how old and you're here at this early stage? But like I said, my grandfather had provided me enough knowledge that I knew that the health of the unborn was as important as my health, and I needed to get to a doctor fast. Especially with me being so young, not knowing what would happen, because there can be complications when you're so young and your body's not mature enough to handle a pregnancy. As far as my dad, we waited a little while. We went outside to a public place and told him. We thought that was the safest method, but he actually didn't get as crazy as I thought he would. He kind of just sat back and was like, "Well, it is what it is, and we'll do what we got to do." And I was like, "Well, okay, all right, I'll take that." And I just continued on with my pregnancy. I was fortunate enough to have a very healthy pregnancy. And the midwives were surprised at how much knowledge I did have. At such a young age and how healthy I kept myself during the whole pregnancy. But it was quite an experience.
I can imagine. I can imagine. What was that point when you realized like being that young, and then when it really when you got to settle in, what was happening that you were going to become a mother? What was that feeling like? Was it like overwhelming? Were you happy, confused,
I think all of
scared?
that, right? I think it was a combination of all of that. I think I didn't know what to expect. I was happy. I thought to myself, I tried so hard not to be like my mother, but here I am, a teen, pregnant teen. My mom had her first one at 16. I think the turning point for me was I was about 8 months pregnant, and my uncle, I went to go visit my grandmother, my belly sticking out. I'm this young girl with a huge belly. And he looked at me and he said to me, you disgust me. He said, you're just another effing
Wow.
statistic, and walked away from me. And at that moment, I said, no, I'm not. Watch me. And that was that pivotal moment for me that I knew that I had to do something different. While I'm in the same situation, I'm going to be different. I'm not going to allow this moment to define me. And that's when I kind of put my motions in gear. I remember, I wasn't going to school at this point because I was, pregnant and everything. And I ended up giving birth to my daughter. And right after I gave birth, I went to my mom and I was like, "Hey, listen, I want to go back to school for my GED. Like, I need to go back to school for my GED." And she was like, "Well, I don't have time to go. You got a kid. That's what you've got to worry about. Take care of your kid. Get a job. Da da da." And well, get a better job because I was already working. I was working at a supermarket. That was my first job. And I, as soon as I gave birth, that's what I went to. I needed to get a job because I was not going to be on public assistance. There was no way I was going to be on public assistance. And then I did have this, I didn't have to pay rent or anything like that. So it was a lot easier for me to work and not be on public assistance when I had the support of my family. But she refused to take me to school to go sign up for my GED classes. So I said, "I've got to go to the school and I got to talk to somebody there because there's no way she's gonna stop me from first, from continuing my education. I need to get this. I may not be getting a high school diploma, but I'm gonna get something because I'm going to college." And I remember walking into the guidance counselor's office and I said, "Listen, my mom's not coming with me. I don't know what I need to do, but I need to sign up for the GED classes. And I don't know if I need her to sign anything, but she's refusing. She's refusing to come in and do anything with me." And she was like, "Wait, you gave birth to your mom, right?" I said, "Yeah." She goes, "Well, you're an emancipated minor now. Once you give birth in the state of New York, you become an emancipated minor and no longer need the mother's permission or parental permission to do things like that." And I was like, "Really?" She was like, "You could sign yourself up." So that day is when I signed myself up. And I did a couple of weeks in the GED course. And then I sat for my GED exam. And I was waiting for the results to come in. And I'll never forget the day that I got my results. It came in the mail and it was a small envelope. And I was like, "Oh my God, I'm so nervous. I'm so nervous. Like, did I pass? What did I do? Like, I don't know, And my mom looks over at me and she goes, "Oh, it's a small envelope. You failed." And I just looked at her like, "Really? Like, this is what we're doing?" Okay. So I opened it and I passed. So I'm super excited. I'm like, I passed. I could go to college now. Like, I mean, who's happy about a GED, right? But I was ecstatic because that meant that I just jumped a hurdle that nobody thought I was going to be able to, right? So boom,
Exactly.
I got you. That's one. Keep watching me, right? Keep watching because I'm going to show each and every one of you. So my grandfather was excited. I told him he was excited. And I worked for about a year before I decided to enroll in college because I needed to save up money and figure out how to do this financial aid. I didn't have my mom there guiding me along. She didn't have much of an education herself, nor did my dad. My dad, I think, left school in the fourth grade. He could barely read and write. And my mom, dropped out. I think it was 11th grade, but then never went back in to do anything. I never went back to get her GED. So I think also her watching me succeed in that area was just a reminder of what she didn't do. And it affected her and bothered her that way. So
So that's why she was
yeah,
so
so
negative.
negative on what I had did. So I did start college at 17, and I actually started classes for nursing. But I didn't
Awesome.
become a nurse there. I'm going to stop there in case you had any other questions before I go on with the
Yeah. So I forgot
story.
this was my show for a minute. I thought I was listening. I'm
Yeah.
like, interesting. Oh, wow. Okay. So, yeah. So yes, I did want to track back and say, so or ask, do you think that if your uncle didn't make that statement, that you think that was at that moment, would you have that same desire, or you think him saying that was kind of like a was it blessing?
So I think a little bit of both, right? I think because of my determination and my tenacity that I eventually still would have ended up down the same path I did. but I feel like it gave me way more motivation. It propelled me to like, oh yeah, like this is what we think of me. Okay. And it only amplified what I knew everybody else thought of me. And as much as we say we don't care what people think about us, that's the biggest lie we tell ourselves. The biggest lie we tell ourselves. We do care what other people think about us. We may not let it affect us,
That's
but
true.
we definitely do. I did go back to my uncle a couple of years ago and reminded him of that. And he was like, oh my God, I'm the worst uncle in the world. I don't know why I said that to you. I'm so sorry. You probably hate me. And I'm like, no. I love you because of it. Like, you were the only one who kept it real and raw with me, you know?
That's awesome. Aw. He didn't cry, did he? You said that
No,
because that would have made me cry.
no, he kept that
Oh,
machismo attitude. No.
wow. Oh, goodness. But okay, so let's see where we're at. So
So
we're
I started college.
in college. Okay. Yes, we're in college. Okay, so was there any, what kind of like bump, were there any bumps in the road that you had to face during, because now you're like, we're pregnant still, right? No, we've had the
Yeah,
child at this point, right? I was
at
so
this
deep in
point, my daughter's
it.
two when I started college.
Okay. So what was that like? Were there any like, being so young and then, trying to,
Oh yeah. So, oh,
because I guess we have to cover, I think we forgot,
yeah. Go ahead.
or if you want to, just to kind of fill the listeners in, like, was the dad any kind of like of support or anything in this in here?
Not really. Like, so he was one of those that if he wanted sex from me, he came around. You
Oh,
know?
one of
So
them.
he would come with a case of Pampers or some milk, hang out for a little bit, and then try getting some. And then if I said no, he would disappear for a couple of months and then come back and try again. So he was in and out. Definitely no steady stream of income. It was solely me, working my butt off, as far as watching her or being there for her. No, he it was, I'll come drop a pair of Jordans off and then leave kind of thing. So he wasn't there. It wasn't until she was seven, and then we can get kind of there. It wasn't until she was seven that he did become a permanent fixture in her life.
That's awesome. Okay, I'm happy that. That's
Yeah, he definitely did. And that was because of the woman he was with. Her and I, they since a split, but her and I still remain friends. And that woman will always have my respect because of who she was to my daughter. Like, we're really good
That's
friends. Like, she
awesome.
stepped up to the plate and was like, no, you have a daughter and you need to take care of her. Because
That's
actually,
right.
my daughter's brother is 2 months older than her. He had two of us pregnant at the same time. Oh, yes.
Oh, dear.
Yes. And he was a drug dealer. So he was one of the street guys, and all of that. So I was caught up in the hype of all that, the money, the immediate money he had, and all that other stuff. But yeah, he had two of us pregnant at the same time. And then he had another little girl a couple of years later on, down the line with the same woman, but then he ended up with this other woman and had another kid with her. And she was like, oh no, you're gonna take care of all your kids. And she stepped up to that plate and she would set up the times like, I'm gonna come get your daughter. I'm gonna come get her and we're gonna keep her for the weekend and we're gonna have all the kids together. And any woman that recognizes that a man needs to be around his child gets complete respect from me. I don't understand some of these women who are like, no, you don't need, that's your kid from your other baby's mother. Like, they don't need to, no, that's so, they're blood related. They need a connection. Yeah.
Exactly. It's
Yeah.
about the children. Yep.
Yeah.
Most
So no,
definitely.
I did it on my own. My mom didn't make it easy. When I did enroll in college and start going, she was like, well, you need to pay me childcare. You're working and going to school. You need to pay me
Oh,
child
man.
support. Which, you know what? I appreciate that. I do appreciate that because it taught me something, right? It taught me that in life, you've got to do what you got to do regardless of the situation, and you need to figure it out.
Yep.
So,
Just because it's your
yep.
mom, you're like,
She
so
was
what?
like,
Get
you
it
wanted to have this
figured
baby? You're going to be a mother all the way, 100%. So anytime she babysat, I had to pay her. And I got lucky. The college that I was going to was a community college. They had a lottery for, they had free childcare on the ground. And there was a lottery,
Awesome.
and I actually won the lottery. So once you're in, they stay in, like you continue for every semester. It's not like you've got to reapply for the lottery. So that
That's
first semester,
awesome.
I got the lottery. You know, my mom was like, you know, like in her mind, she's like, oh, she's so lucky, you know? She was not happy. No, she couldn't be happy.
Can't
Not like, oh, my
be happy.
daughter's gonna be, you know? No, it was that negative because everything I did represented everything she didn't do. So, like I said, it was just a constant reminder to her of what she could have done and decided not to. Instead, she decided to push four of us out one after the other, you know? And I mean, I hate to talk about my mom like that, but you know, reliving those moments, that's how I felt. And so I started nursing school. I was working full time. I was going to school full time. I mean, I worked in a bar overnight, and my mom did watch her, and I had to pay her for the overnight. But then, like, my first class was at 8 a.m., and the train ride was about an hour and a half train ride because I was going to school in the city. But I did it. I hustled, man. I hustled. I worked, came home, took about a 2 hour nap, got up, showered, got her ready. We got on that train. We got to the school. Oh, I did it. I was like, you know what? This is, I don't know where the determination came from, but I did it. I didn't think about doing it. I just
Right,
did it. And I'll,
just do it.
yep,
Yep,
just do,
like you
yep.
said, just do
And I'll,
it.
this moment sticks with me in my mind. I remember walking into the college building with my daughter. So, you know, she was probably 2.5, 3 at this time because we have been going for some time now. And I remember I had my book bag on one shoulder and I fixed it. Like I fixed my book bag because it was falling off. And I looked down at my daughter. Oh, I'm gonna get so emotional. I look down at my daughter and she mimicked exactly what I did. And I was like, oh, you know, like she's witnessing mom do something, like make something of herself, right? Like I was out of that cycle at that point. Like for me, I was like, you know what? Not too many girls even get this far being a teen mom. And to know that she's mimicking, I mean, it was just a little book bag, but like it meant so much to me. You know, like she wants to be me. So I know that I have to show her. I know I have to show her. And I think that was another moment for me. Like that
I
stupid
totally get it. I
little
do. I do.
Yeah, with
Yeah.
that little
I kind of like saw it. I could see her,
Yeah,
I could,
just
I
looking
totally
up at
see it.
me, imitating me. I was like, oh, this is so great. Like this is so good. But I so the waiting list for nursing school in New York was ridiculously long. Like it was so long. And my girlfriend worked for a temp agency. So I remember her calling me up and saying, listen, I got a job for you. She was, so at this point, I'm 17 going on 18. And she's like, I got a job, about 18. She was like, I got a job for you. But it's during the day. You may have to change your hours, you know, for school and stuff like that. Like, can you do it? And I was like, well, what is it paying? And she was like, it's paying 45K a year. So, you know, me being 18, this was 90 something. I don't freaking remember. I want to say 97, 98. That was a good salary. That was a really good
Yeah,
salary.
definitely.
And I ended up leaving school and working. So I didn't complete college at that point. Then I went on to another job a couple, like 2, 3 years later, and I was making even more money. While I was at that second job, this is before 9/11 happened in this city, I remember saying to myself, Chris, you got to do something with your life. You can't just keep going from job to job. Like, this is not where it's at. You need a career. You wanted to be a nurse. You need to go back to something. So at that point, I was like, you know what? What's the quickest thing I can do, but still in the medical profession? So I decided I was going to go get my EMT license. I was going to be an EMT in New York City. And I did it. And it's funny because right when I enrolled, 9/11 happened, and then I got laid off because I was a human resource administrator in a temp firm, and they kind of went robotic with everything and went digital and really didn't need me because there was other people that had seniority in the company. So I was like, well, I guess this was a sign that I needed to go to school. The course was only a couple of months. It wasn't that long. And in the midst of going to school and getting my EMT license, the professor at the college had recognized that I had some talent. He was like, I think you can, instruct people really well. I think the way you describe and explain things can help some of the other students. I've got about 3 students who are failing. Do you think you could do a tutor session with them? Do you think you could pull them in, grab them, and start doing some sessions with them? And I was like, really? You think I'm that? He's like, I do. I think you got it. I think you could do this. So I started tutoring them. We go to take the state exam. Do you know all 3 of those students I tutored passed with a higher grade than me? I was like, oh, hell no. That's not how that goes. I was like, well, the student surpasses the teacher. Yeah,
Right. You
exactly.
tutored
So fast forward a little bit, he was like,
him.
hey, you did so well with the students. I think you should sign up for my other course where you become a CPR and basic life instructor. Like, I think you would do really well with that. And I was like, you think? Again, I'm questioning him. He's like, come on, Chris. So I was like, all right. So I did that. And I became a CPR instructor, BLS instructor. This story that I'm about to tell, I don't know how much more time we have, but this story I'm about to tell, my friend always reminds me of it. And he's like, you're freaking amazing and you don't even realize it. Once I became a CPR instructor, it wasn't steady work, but you got paid $30 an hour to teach a class, and a class could be 6 hours. Now, you weren't
Wow.
doing that every day, but if you got a few in the month, that was some extra cash in your pocket, as well as being the EMT. So
Yeah.
in 2005, New York State passed a law that all schools were required to have a defibrillator in their school building. I knew that if you had a defibrillator, an AED in your school building, that means you have to be trained in CPR and basic life. So what am I? I'm a BLS instructor. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to write a proposal. I'm going to create a letterhead. I'm like 21 at the time, right? So I'm like, I'm gonna sit down, I'm gonna create a letterhead, I'm gonna put this business proposal together. I'm pretty tight with some of the principals in schools in the surrounding area. I'm gonna do all of this. Da, 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 da. Then when I saw the gravity of how much like it really was the work, I was like, oh yeah, I can't do this. There was over 2,000 schools in New York City. Like, it wasn't just a couple of schools I needed, like that I knew. It was the entire New York State. So what I did was I started researching who won the bid. And then I contacted that company and I sold myself. I marketed myself to them. I said, hey, listen, I'm a CPR BLS instructor. You're going to want me. I'm going to be an asset to your company. You need to interview me. Like, that's pretty much how I said it and did it. And the next day, they had me go out and meet up with one of the other instructors. The instructor started teaching the class. And in the middle of the class, I took over. I was like, I got this, sit down. Right? And I proceeded to teach the rest of the class. And he looked at me and he was like, well, I just need you to fill out your I-9 and your W-4. And I was like, so I'm hired. And he was like, you're hired. I went within 6 months, I moved up from an instructor to a regional manager. And within 6 months from that, I went from regional manager to well, it was sorry, it wasn't a regional manager. It was 6 months I went to a manager of like the program. And then 6 months from that, I went from a regional manager and I covered the entire East Coast of Mississippi, Canada, Mexico, and some of the UK. At 22 years old, I was making 95K a year on a GED
Wow.
and an EMT license. Complete hard work, dedication, hustle, knowing my worth, knowing that I'm valuable, and what I had in my brain was worth so much, and I wasn't going to settle for anything less. And I did it. I was like,
That's
no,
right.
I'm doing it. Now I'm going to stop here. And if you have any questions, because I could keep going. Like, we could just, you could turn your mic off and I could just keep going.
Oh, that's awesome because you carried, that whole attitude throughout, because that's not a lot of people. That's why I'm happy we're having this, this talk because that's a lot of not a lot of people's story when it comes to becoming pregnant at that age, that you had that burning desire and you it was kind of like Rocky, when he's getting ready for it. He's like, dun, dun, dun. You got the music, you're like, about to knock them all out, about to get through this. So that's very important. So as you're, finding your way and you're becoming financially independent and everything, how was it as still as a mother, like how was that girl coming along
So
for you?
it was hard. Because I did find myself so consumed on being a better mother financially that I didn't recognize I was failing in some other areas, right? Because it's kind of like what's taking all your attention. I was a very strict mom. I was, I raised her by the rod. What is it? Spare the rod, spoil the child. So I never spared the rod. I always hammered down on her hard. And because I was so afraid of her repeating my cycle, that I was very strict. Like, you can't go here, you can't do that. No, you can't go to her house. You know why you can't go to her house? Because I see how what her mother lets her do. And if her mother lets her do that, what's she gonna let you do? Because you're not her kid. And that brought some kind of friction and tension between us. I was so focused on her not repeating the cycle and focused on making sure that I financially had her, the structure and security, that I lacked on some of the compassion and love. And to fast forward a little bit, when she became a teenager and I got us in some counseling, because I recognized that later on we needed counseling. There was some broken thing and we needed to fix it. And she said to, I wasn't very affectionate. I wasn't very loving. My mom wasn't very huggy kissy to me. So I wasn't very huggy kissy to her. And I remember the therapist asking her, well, if your mom doesn't hug you and kiss you and tell you she loves you, how do you know she loves you? Right? And that's why I just sat back. I was like, I need to hear this. And she was like, I don't know. I just know my mom loves me. And that hit home for me because I was like, wow. Like, I didn't recognize it to that moment that I wasn't a very affectionate parent. I was more do this kind of drill sergeant, militant. We need to get this done. That has to happen. This and this and that. And then the therapist asked her, well, what if your mom started hugging you and kissing you now? She must have been 16. What if your mom started hugging you and kissing you now? She's like, oh, no. We can't do that now. We can't start now. Like, I'm good with just knowing she loves me. I don't want hugs and kisses. So, So there was a deficit there. I did, it wasn't perfect. But I can go into where she is now and where I am now as far as our relationship. She's 27. She's a wife, a mom. She has, the two kids, homeowner. She owns her two vehicles. She has three college degrees, graduated summa cum laude with all three to her degrees. She takes credit for all of it, but I think a little bit comes to me too, she right now, we're like best friends. I think I talk to her probably every day.
Awesome.
As a grandmother,
Aww.
I love my grandkids differently than I did my kids. And I think what happens for us as parents, and then anybody who's listening that are now grandparents, when we're a parent, we don't know what we're doing, right? It's not like you push this kid out and all of a sudden a manual comes right after it, like the placenta is attached to a manual. It just doesn't
Right,
happen that way. It's
exactly.
a live and learn life lessons kind of thing, right? And yeah, it's
Yep,
like just it's
everything
like,
about
it's so funny
it.
because you'll go and you'll buy a TV and they give you instructions on how to use it. It's like they give you a kid and it's like, just don't kill it. Like whatever, here you go, just don't kill it.
Right?
So
They like
yeah.
put it in this when you get in
And
the
then that's
car
it.
and then
Yeah. And
take it from there.
yeah, like
You're like looking at the baby, like,
oh
okay, Mom, I guess
yeah,
I should
what are we doing
change you,
now?
touch you. Are you okay? Are you good?
But yeah,
Like, you need to
I do think something's come
take
instinctively.
a
Like we joke, but there are some instinctive things that happen when you become a mother. I think there's just that connection between child and
Yeah,
mom.
for sure.
And she laughs at me
Yeah.
because she's like, "You're so different with my kids than you were with me." And I was like, "But I didn't know how to be a mom. But now that I've gone through all these years of being a mom, I know how to be a grandma. And I get to do it without having to leave the house with kids. They stay with you." So I come, I visit, I spoil, but I do find myself giving her advice like, maybe you don't want to be so hard on them. Like, okay, like, don't punish her for that. Maybe have a conversation about it. And she's like, what? Like, I would have got whooped. Like, yeah.
Looking at you like, really?
But you learn, right? It's experience, you learn. Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, oosh, I was a little
It's
harsh,
like you
wasn't
look back and it's like, oh, yeah, I kind of maybe shouldn't have thrown that bottle at her head. But when she didn't listen.
I?
Yeah, absolutely.
You live,
Absolutely.
you learn.
But
Oh, that's
real,
funny.
yeah, real quick, getting back to how I even became a nurse.
Wow.
I
Yes,
didn't, I was
yes.
working, and same story as what happened when I decided to become an EMT. My son, when he was 7, ended up becoming a type 1 diabetic. And I recognized the symptoms because I was already trained as an EMT. And at that point, I was like, you know what? I need to go back and finish my nursing. Like, what am I doing? Like, I'm just, I could lose this job at any point in time. Like, I did the last job. I need to put myself back in school. In September of 2008, I re-enrolled in school to become an RN. I got laid off in January 2009. So the same exact thing that happened with me deciding to become an
Wow.
EMT, same thing when I decided to go back for my RN. And I was like, Lord, listen, I don't know. Like, I guess you got this all set up because, I don't know where the thought came. I don't know if it was my son getting diagnosed, and that's what transitioned me to that. But at that point is when I decided to go get my RN license. And the great thing was, I graduated from college a year before my daughter graduated from high school. So for me, that
Wow.
was a moment because she didn't finish high school yet. And I was able to get my college degree. I don't know if that makes sense to the listeners, but
Yep.
it
Perfect
makes sense
sense.
to me.
Yeah.
Yes. Like before she
Got to
completed high
complete
school,
that.
I needed to get this
Yeah.
done. And I did it. And She follows right in my footsteps. I tell her all the time, I am the woman that I am because of her. That she gave
Amazing.
me all the motivation I needed to be who I was. And if I had to do it again, I wouldn't change a thing. Not a thing.
That's right. Oh, goodness. That mother thing, identifying with you with. Yeah, you make me just want to go in there right now and just hug my son, just because, you know?
Absolutely. So she's So and we're great friends. We
Oh,
talk
wow.
almost every day. She calls me for advice. Her husband's actually a little jealous of our relationship. And I'm like, get over it. I was in the delivery room for my first granddaughter. And she was like, Mommy, where are you? Where are you? And I'm like, I'm right here, baby. I'm right here. And she was like, Oh, Jesus, get this baby out of me. Right? So after everything was said and done, I looked at her husband. I said, I just want you to remember two things. And he's like, What's that? I said, She said, Mommy and Jesus. She ain't called for you. Yep,
Like,
exactly.
know your place, know your place.
So,
Oh
I
man,
tell
that's
this
awesome. That's so
story
funny.
to hopefully inspire and give hope that any young women who are out there and think that it's impossible, because it's not impossible. And there are a few key things that you need in order to become successful despite your circumstances. You make your circumstances, you don't let them make you. And one of them is having a support system. I don't care who you find as your support system, you need to surround yourself around people who encourage you, acknowledge you, and have faith in your abilities. So make sure you set yourself up with a good support system. The other key is access to your community services, right? While I didn't receive public assistance, that doesn't mean somebody shouldn't. If you need it, you need it, but don't make it your life support. Use it for what you need it for and then get off of it. Let it be your starting point to propel you to be a better
Yeah.
you, right? But not. And then lastly,
Amen.
don't give up. Don't give up. Nothing that is worth having comes easy. So just have that tenacity and the strength to keep going. And that's why you need your support system, because when you feel like you can't go anymore, they're going to be right there to tell you you can. So those are just some key pieces of advice I
Yeah.
think young women should take when they, are in a situation where they think it's impossible. It's not. It could be done. I'm proof of that.
That's awesome. Yeah. I think it's very important to tell that story in the way you did versus saying it, like something that happened, how it can go either way and people focusing on the negative. And I like how your dad put it. He said, well, this is where we're at. We gotta, the next step just is reality. This was we have to live in the moment. You can't, you just gotta roll with it and then, And for you took it and none of that stuff was an obstacle for you. Like none, it was nothing. Like if anybody else obstacles, you know what I mean? And yours was one that was like, for your age that it could have went any way. And that's why I know God, he just, I tell people, I'm like, he will help you. You pray, he will answer your prayers when he sees, especially when you
Effort.
are putting, forth that effort. You
Oh
know what I
yeah. Oh
mean?
yeah. And don't
He's your
think there
biggest, our
weren't
biggest
days that I sat in the
cheerleader.
bathroom and just cried my eyes out. Don't think that there wasn't days that I was like, this is not going to work.
Yeah.
like, what am I doing?
But
No, definitely didn't give up.
you
And it's
didn't give up.
okay. It's normal to have those moments of doubt. It's a feeling. It's a moment. Don't stay in it. You have to pick yourself up and get out of it.
Yeah, totally. It's like don't try to like avoid it, feel it, allow yourself, and then get it going. I know, like yeah, You said something important really too that stuck out was the support system. And you know, because I know like for me and then I know other people, especially like now the social distancing thing, but people don't really realize or like to admit people have a problem with being vulnerable or like, I don't need anybody. I need this. It's kind of like as human beings in this world, we need somebody. We need each other. You know, and that's important what you said for that support system because when you feel like that and you don't have anybody to pick, you know, it's where I'm weak, I'll be your strengths, where I'm strong, you know what I mean? Like for each other. But it's like what you just sit with self and there's, you know what I mean? And hopefully, you know, like for me, I'm used to pulling myself out of, you know what I mean, low places when I feel that way. It's just something I'm used to. But I know for sure that having that support system makes it even more,
Absolutely.
you know, just something that because you feel like people care, that whole thing too, you know, like I gotta do this. People believe in me. They care enough about me to, you know, keep going and I'm gonna do this. So I think that's important that people need to realize too. Like
Absolutely.
we need to be there for each other, you
I had
know,
told
through the
myself if I
worst
ever
and
won the
all of that.
lotto, right? Like in my mind, this is what I was going to do. I was going to build a not-for-profit organization, going to get a couple of buildings built. Like this is my dream of what I could do. And it was going to be placement for teen moms, right? But there's a whole kind of like mission behind it. It's not just a place for you and your kids to come, right? And also the other part of that too is a lot of these housing that does that do take in teen moms don't allow the dads to come. That would not be me. If the dad is an active involvement and they're together as a whole unit, the dad can come as well. But it was gonna kind of be a pay it forward thing, right? Everybody that was there was gonna support each other. So you have your own apartment and you know your own place in this building, and you know one mom the moms have to help each other. So if one's going to school during the day and the other one's working at night, they're gonna swap and watch each other's kids, and you know the tutoring is gonna be a month. Like it was gonna be like a communal support system. Everybody, if in order for you to be there, you have to support each other in this. And that's another place where I think we fail as women sometimes. If we don't uplift each other, we want to
The
be better
support.
than the other one instead of support, but we all need support. And that's where everything, and then after you've gone to school, got your degree, whatever it is, you became a lawyer, you know, you now have to mentor the other women coming in, the other girls coming in. You have to volunteer your time to come in and mentor these young girls because you've been through it. And there's no better person to listen to than someone who's gone through it. You know, if you didn't experience it, you don't know what I'm going through.
Totally.
But if you've experienced, you know exactly. So that's my little thing in my head. And if I ever won the lotto, that's what I would do.
This is as you were saying this, and I was going to bring it up earlier. Check this out. What you just said right now. That's how I knew you were going to say that when you said you had this, you know, when I was going to school for business, we had the, I think it was the marketing class. And we had to come up with our own business down to like everything about the business, down to the toilet paper. You know what I mean? The structure of the building, the rooms, what it was for, just everything about the program. So we chose what you just spoke of right now. It was completely for young girls, but they were like on this, you know, that got put out of the home. They were pregnant on the streets or whatever. And we designed the building, the program, and we called it Suki's Angels because our teacher was, her name was Miss Suki. And so that's what we named it. But we had like even down to the flyers, you know how you put them in the like the laundromats and stuff. They can rip off the numbers and just everything. And yeah, we had set it up to where they can come and stay. Do basically everything you just said, like the schooling and all that stuff, to actually give them a place to succeed, be successful. You put your foot, your best foot forward, and you can get a career, you know, if you just
Who
keep going.
knows?
And so.
Maybe we
That's
were,
clearly what you just
yep,
said. That
maybe
was
we were put
everything that
together
we
for
had like
more
put
than we think.
together.
Who knows? The future is something I can't predict. You never know.
Yeah, you never know. 'Cause I can say I've never, I haven't been through that before, but that was what we just like, three of us, three girls, and that's what we wanted to do. But I've always wanted to do that with homeless, and I've never been homeless, but I've always wanted to create exactly what we spoke of right now with, for pregnant. young girls with homeless people and like giving
No,
them, because they're not always
absolutely.
just on the street just because they want to be on the street. You know what I mean? It's because nobody's really
Right.
giving them the opportunities to level up. And I've always wanted to do that, you know? So yeah, you never know, right? Yeah,
Absolutely.
for sure. It's
I
about
would say
helping one another, you know? It's about growth,
I'm a
healthy.
big
We gotta
proponent
all be able to
of
make it.
uplifting one another. Like you won't ever see me knock someone down, ever.
Yeah.
Like
See, that's why Steve met. He knew what he was
it's
doing. I'm
so
telling
important. Like, oh, there's so
you.
much hate in the world that, a little bit of love goes a long way. It really, really does. It is.
Right, and
Absolutely.
it's free.
I'm telling
It's
you. But yeah, I'm a
freaking
big, big,
free.
big, like, let me help you. Like
Yeah.
if in my community where I'm at now, my son's in his 20s and he's always dating these young moms. And I'm like, oh, right? But I don't know if it's because they're meant to come to me so I can guide them. Yeah, so I can guide them. Because I'm usually like,
Yeah,
first
you
of all, you
never
don't
know,
need to be with
right?
my kid because he's not ready. Okay, that's number one. So you need to stop dating my son. That's number one. That's the first thing you're doing wrong. Second, and then I go into, well, what are you doing with yourself? What do you want to do with yourself? All right, well, let's sit down and make a plan. Like, I will take him out to lunch. Like, hey, what are you doing? Call him out of nowhere. My son's like, what are you calling my girlfriend for? I'm like, ah, shut up. Like, yes. Like, what are
She's
you
our
doing?
girlfriend now.
Let me take you
She's
to
both of
lunch.
our
And I sit
girlfriends.
there and do it. Well, did you know you could get this? Did you know you could get that? Have you looked into this? Like, let's call them right now together. Like, let's do this right now. Like, I don't give them a way out. Like, we're gonna do this together. And that's just the support, right? And when you have support from someone who knows what they're doing,
Yeah.
it makes it all, yeah, it makes it all the easier. So
For
I,
sure.
oh yeah.
Even though it was scary then, he's like, appreciated you later.
Absolutely.
She's like, whoa, whoa.
Yep, that's, and then they end up loving me.
You're
So
dating
after
all
they
of
break
us
up
now.
with him, because they do, because I'm like, you will, but it's okay. They still stay in touch with me. And they still call me mom. I'm like, whatever, I'm not gonna go there with them. They were like, oh my, I did this and I did that, and I'm back in school, and and I love to hear that. And I wanna be there to support them and encourage them. So that's fine. I guess he's the funnel to me.
Yep. Yep. That's awesome. I love
Thank you.
your story. I love your drive. I love everything about how you conquered and you showed for a fact, living proof that circumstances, anything you can, all you have to do, I tell people, have a positive attitude and you
Yep.
want it, you can have it.
No,
You
nope,
can
the
do
only
it.
person that stops
And
you is
nobody
you.
can stop you.
That's it. Because, and you know what? It may take
You,
you
yep.
10 times to
Yep.
figure out how to get there, but that doesn't mean after the first time it didn't work that you
Yeah.
don't keep going. You got to keep going. Like, I mean, that's what everything. I make t-shirts for fun for my grandkids and my kids. And I'm like, oh, I wonder if I do the vinyl with the infusible ink, is it gonna da, da, da? And I'll sit there and be like, nope, that didn't work. All right, let's try again. Like, you don't just stop because it didn't work the first time. Like, I have a thought in my head. I have an image on what this is gonna look like, what my end product is gonna look like. And it may take me all these tries to get there, but I'm gonna get to that end project. Yep, I'm gonna get there. It's
You
gonna
get
happen.
there.
And as long as
Yep.
you keep that mindset that it's going to happen. I remember when I used to hear it all the time, and I was like, oh, please give me a break. Like, if you think negative, you're gonna get negative. If you think
Yep.
positive, but it's so true.
It's true, 'cause that's what I say to me. I'm
Yeah.
that
You
negative
have to be
voice.
your positivity when no one else will. It's okay.
Yep.
There'll be doubters,
Totally.
there'll be naysayers, and it's okay. Because when
Yep.
I look back at everybody that had nothing but negative to say about me being a mom so young, and I'm like, where are you now? Oh, you still live in an apartment. Oh, well, I own a home on half an acre. Oh, okay. All right. Oh, where are you now? Oh, you have five kids and you can't make it, but you did that when you were 30, but I wasn't going to be anything because I was 14 when I did it. Okay, got it. Like, Like, you know, so you just look back.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm still humble in
Yeah.
what I do. I don't say that to them. I say it to myself. Like, oh, okay. Like, yeah. Like, I'm gonna just
Yeah,
judge you
I totally get
in private.
it.
Like, whatever. Like, you, yeah. It's like,
Those usually be the ones that are
yep.
like that, though. Then
You
they
judge
end
me in
up in this,
public.
because they were, not
Yep, you
humble,
judge
and
me in
God
public, I'll judge you in
gets
private.
it
It's
too.
okay.
Yep. That's awesome. I'm so happy that we got to do this, and I'm so excited about, sharing this and your story. And thank you so much. To the listeners, I really hope that you guys share this, share with whomever, if you know anybody, that is going through this, or know somebody that knows somebody, definitely share this story with them, because if you want to hear hope, faith, and all that, then this is definitely going to give it to you. This is a real live woman here. It's real. It's a true story. No, those fairy tale stories, like, where is she? That's awesome. Well, I know that, like you said, there was so much more that we could, just keep going and going, but
We could do
I
a
get we
part two
can't.
somewhere someday down the
We have
line.
lives, but
Well,
that'd be awesome. It'd be so
so
cool if you and
here's
your
the
daughter came on
thing. Just
together.
I'm gonna plug
That'd
it
be
because you
awesome.
gave me the opportunity. I wasn't gonna bring it up, but on January 3rd at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, live on YouTube. If you go to Chrissy.cypher on Facebook or Chrissy.cypher on Instagram, or go to www.cypherknowledge.com, you'll find the link to the show. I am actually doing an episode called Three Generations. And my mom is coming on, I'm gonna be on,
Awesome.
and my daughter's coming on. They both agreed to come on, and we're just gonna talk about parenting, you know, with the different generations, how it's the same, how it's different. What did my daughter learn from me? What did I learn from my mom? What did we then teach our kids? So it's just gonna kind of be like a round table, and we're just gonna kind of go. It may get a little touchy at times, but it's gonna be a real live conversation. And since we all have daughters, my mom had me, I had my daughter, and my daughter has two daughters, so it should be interesting and fun. That's January 3rd, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, live on YouTube.
Thank you. Awesome. I got it plugged here. Am I the plug?
Yeah,
The
no,
first
yeah, nobody knows about that.
show with
Nobody
the
knows
plug
that's
at?
coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are.
Right here.
You got it. You're the first one.
All right. I'm excited about that, because I definitely want to watch, and will
I
definitely
appreciate it.
on my side help to promote that, so
It should be
people,
fun.
yeah, for sure. Well, thank you. Yes, I had fun too here today with you. I loved everything about your great storyteller too, because I felt like I was there, like
Well,
at every moment with you as
yeah,
you were
thank you
going
for
through it.
allowing me the
So
platform to tell
that's
my
always nice when.
story. And at the end of the day, if I was able to help one young lady, my job was done. My job was done. So thank you. Thank
That's
you.
right.
Thank you.
That is right. Yes. Oh, anytime. This is a home. My look, you're now a
Oh, thank you.
certified family member of the Voices of Courage. So anytime. Anytime. So could you please let our great listeners know where they could find
Well,
anything,
I'll make it really,
Chrissy,
really
they
easy,
want,
because if you just go to the
where they can find
website,
you
it
at?
has links to all my social media, and it actually has each episode, with links to each episode that I've already done. So if you just go to www.cipheredknowledge.com, and that's CipheredKnowledge. You can just go to the website, and like I said, it'll have all the social media where you can find me, contact information, and the episodes, all the episodes of season one.
Everybody, this is the lovely Chrissy. Check her out, and definitely check go to the website. I'll be putting that in the notes, and she'll be back again. Don't worry about that. And
Thank
Chrissy,
you so much.
you have a
Yes.
blessed day.
Yeah.
The awesome thing about being open to meeting different people is that you meet a new piece of yourself, if that makes any sense. You know, we as humans bring out the better in each other if we allow that part of us to connect. And I promise you, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And then you get to meet beautiful people with amazing, inspiring stories, you know? A story that could change somebody's life and help them. And I really, really am just, you know, just happy and inspired, you know, that, you know, Chrissy Richards came on and she didn't just, you know, we chose this episode, this topic, you know, just specifically. And I want to thank her for choosing my show to do this on, because I don't know if you really, she really, really like thought in her head, like, oh, that's Voices of Courage, or she just, something happened there where she said, I'm going to do this on Brandy's show. I don't know what it clicked inside of her, but it seemed like we both went there, you know, we actually both went there. But for her to, you know, to do this with me on my show, I just want her to know that you just, you know, make me just want to keep going and going and going. So I'm not crying right now. I like when I'm inspired, because I like inspiring other people. So to be inspired back makes me realize how important it is that I keep doing that, and that to never give up. So just remember that you got to know that we need each other, and we can bring out the better parts in one another if you choose to. So Voices of Courage 2020, that's where it's at. And today, it's where it's at with Chrissy Richards.